Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We meet at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. If you can't join us in person at 9 a.m., you can always join the live stream at 9 a.m. Pacific. And you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. And if you miss all of those, you can always go to our YouTube channel and watch any of our programs, our children's messages, our complete worship services, or our weekly sermons. We've been doing a series on the Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens' famous movie or book. I would hope that you've been watching it or listening to it. I hope you watch the show too. Our passage today comes from Isaiah 55, 1 through 8, an Old Testament reading, and then Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20, a long reading, but it's a great reading. Before we go to God's Word, let us pray. Gracious Lord, we pray that you would turn our humbugs to hallelujahs, reawaken the joy in us, fill us with hope and love, and help us to build relationships and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 55, 1 through 8. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Wow. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the people. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Can you believe it? This is the fourth week of Advent, and Christmas is only a few days away. Do you have all your Christmas shopping done? Has it been humbug or hallelujah this Advent season? Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at love, hope, and joy. We've been filled with, maybe you've been filled with a bah humbug spirit. Or maybe you've learned from this Advent season to find peace in the midst of all the pressures of the holidays. Wow. As you know, for the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at Charles Dickens' famous classic, A Christmas Carol. The first week of Advent, we lit the candle of hope, and we were challenged to break the chains of Christmas past with a vivid image of Marley's ghost dragging the chains around him that he had formed in his life. The second week of Advent, we lit the candle of love and looked at the spirit of Christmas present. We saw the amazing love of Tiny Tim as he cries out, God bless us, everyone. Last week, we lit the candle of joy and we danced with joy. In Dickens' novel, there's a powerful moving scene when young Ebenezer Scrooge dances at old Fezziwig's Christmas party. Have you found the time to close up shop and dance with joy for a little bit? That was your challenge last week. Both Mary and Elizabeth found the time to rejoice and magnify the Lord. And so can you. And so can I. The question is, have you? This week, we light the fourth candle of Advent, the candle of peace. Our New Testament reading comes from our good friend, Dr. Luke. Luke paints a powerful picture of the birth of the Lamb of God, the Good Shepherd. The birth announcement is made with a proclamation of peace to the lowly shepherds who are tending their flocks at night. Let us listen for the announcement of peace. Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there's no room for him in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us all about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread out the word. They spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Wow. All week long, I've been thinking about peace. The biblical idea of peace is so much more than the idea of the absence of war. Boy, we have wars. We have rumors of wars. But peace is more than just the absence of war. The biblical idea of peace it stands out. It means fullness or completeness or wholeness or, well, harmonious relationships. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And the Greek word is eirene. The word peace appears 323 times in the Bible. Wow, that's almost one a day. 323 times. Peace occurs in each one of the 27 books of the New Testament. Peace is an important theme of the Bible. God is referred to as the God of peace. And Jesus is said to be the Lord of peace or the Prince of peace. In the Christmas story, not to be confused with a Christmas carol, Jesus is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This past week at a meeting, I asked the people at the meeting, which of those four titles speak to you and why? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol is truly a wonderful story of hope, love, joy, and peace that is found in Christmas. We have spent the past few weeks looking at how the spirit of Christmas past confronted Scrooge with his lack of hope and how the spirit of Christmas present showed Scrooge his lack of love and joy. The one thing Scrooge was searching for in this Christmas Eve dream, well, it was peace. Peace had been so elusive for Scrooge. The chains of gold that Scrooge had forged during his lifetime had done him absolutely no good. Scrooge had done nothing with the wealth he had been given. Scrooge had only lived for himself. Scrooge came face to face with the spirit of Christmas future and saw what the future was going to bring. Maybe a few good so what questions here. How many of us are like Scrooge? How many of us are chained by our past? How many of us are not living fully in the present? How many of us are frozen by the fear of the future? The spirit of Christmas future arrived to show Scrooge his destiny. These are very frightening scenes, to be honest with you. Scrooge is shown vignettes of how other people responded to his death. Finally, Scrooge is brought to a church graveyard where he musters up the courage to view his own tombstone. In the scene, Scrooge cries out, "Spirit, spirit, hear me. I am not that man I was. I will not be the man I must have been. But for this visitation, why show me this? If I am past hope, assure me that I may yet change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life." The only point for today's message is peace is found in a person. When we lived back in Illinois, we had a little blue minivan, and on the van, we had a bumper sticker that said, "No Jesus, N-O, N-O, no Jesus, no peace, N-O, no peace." And then right below it was "No, K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace. No Jesus, no peace," or "No Jesus and no peace." One day, while my wife was working in a concession stand at the ballpark, a young boy about 8 years old asked if she knew whose blue van that was in the parking lot. She told the little boy it was hers. The little boy told my wife, "My grandma told me to find out whose van it was because of what happened. I asked my grandma what the bumper sticker meant. No Jesus, N-O Jesus, no peace, no peace. No Jesus, K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace." My grandma told me all about Jesus. I accepted him as a little boy. That's what the little boy said right there at the ballpark. He said, "I accepted him to my heart. My grandma told me to go see whose blue van that is." Can you believe that? A little boy found Christ off of a peace bumper sticker, well, on our van parked in a parking lot, way back in the 1980s. As I have been thinking about peace all week, I've come up with a little acrostic for you to use when you think of peace. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're talking about peace, and my prayer is that you will all come to know the Prince of Peace. I've come up with an acrostic about peace. Peace. Peace enters at Christ's entrance. Peace enters at Christ's entrance. The shepherds were the outcast of society. They were called unclean and were just a notch above the lepers. Yet it was to the shepherds that the angels appeared. To the lowly shepherds the angel came in the midst of the night to announce the birth of the Lamb of God, the good shepherd of the sheep. I am sure that these shepherds were looking for peace in the midst of their busy, overworked, underappreciated roles. Wow, does that sound familiar? Can you identify with the shepherds? I love this part of the Christmas story because it speaks to all of us who are looking for a little bit of peace. It's dark. It's nighttime. Everyone is either in bed or heading that way. I'm sure that the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock. They were sticking close to the fire, trying to stay warm. And then all of a sudden, shabam! In a single instance, the angels show up. Not just one or two angels, but a multitude of angels singing glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those whom he favors. The Bible scholars tell us that a multitude is beyond the number of counting. So we can safely guess that it wasn't just 10 or 20 or even 100 angels. In essence, the whole heavens were filled with angelic hosts singing and praising God. What a sight this must have been. On one hand, you have a multitude of angels wrapped in light and singing with joy and praising God. Jesus has been born. The Messiah is located in a stable near you. Glory. Maybe if we all got a text, we might do something, but these are angels singing in the sky. On the other hand, you have these outcasts dressed in thrift shop robes and sandals. The angels tell the shepherds exactly what had happened and exactly how to find a baby. Today, they say, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. We are told that the shepherds run into town to find the miracle. And there they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, wrapped in cloths, just like the angels had told them. Hear verse 20 again. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. All it took was a multitude of angels glorifying and praising God, and the shepherds did the same thing. They took off to tell everyone about what had happened. Scrooge returned from his encounter with the spirits of Christmas past, present, and future by proclaiming, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future." That's what Scrooge says. I will honor Christmas in my heart. I'll try to keep it all year. Maybe that's a good challenge for you and me. How do we keep Christmas in our heart every day of the year? Scrooge then proclaimed a different ending to his Christmas carol than the cold, lonely tombstone he had just witnessed in his dreams. You know, sometimes it takes a host of angels, well, or even a nightmare, in order to shake us up and wake us up and turn us around. Well, so what? So what? As we enter the last week of Advent, has peace eluded you? Has the humbug spirit consumed you? Are the pressures of the season filling you with negativity? Have your hallelujahs been lost to the hollowness of broken relationships? Maybe a good so what question is, how will you end your Christmas carol? If you're writing a story of your life, how will you end your story? In his book, Hidden in Plain Sight, author and pastor Mark Buchanan writes about a woman named Regina. Originally from Rwanda, Regina came to Christ while reading her sister's Bible during the genocide that ravaged her country. When she fled to Canada for refuge, she met her husband, Gordon. They decided to return to Rwanda to show the love of Christ to the people who had once been enemies. Regina told Mark Buchanan this story. A woman's only son was killed. She was consumed with grief and hate and bitterness. "God," she prayed, "reveal my son's killer." One night she dreamed she was going to heaven, but there was a complication. In order to get into heaven, she had to pass through a certain house, and she had to walk down the street, enter the house through the front door, go through its rooms, up the stairs, and exit through the back door. She asked God, "Whose house is this?" In the dream, she heard, "It's the house." He told her, "It's your son's killer's house." The road to heaven passed through the house of her enemy. Two nights later, there was a knock at her door. She opened it, and there stood a young man. He was about her son's age, yes. He hesitated. Then he said, "I'm the one who killed your son. Since that day, I have had no life, no peace, so here I am. I am placing my life in your hands. Kill me. I am dead already. Throw me in jail. I am in prison already. Torture me. I am in torment already. Do with me as you wish." The woman had prayed for this day. Now it had arrived, and she didn't know what to do. She found, to her own surprise, that she did not want to kill him or throw him into jail or torture him. In that moment of reckoning, she found she only wanted one thing, a son. "I ask this of you, come into my home and live with me, eat the food I would have prepared for my son, wear the clothes I would have made for my son, become the son I lost." And so he did. Friends, what a powerful story of reconciliation and restoration and peace. God is a peace lover. The earth has lost its peace. Maybe your home, maybe your school, maybe your work, maybe your life, you've lost your peace. When these words are spoken, when Jesus comes to Matthew and appears, the angels appear, there's been 400 years of silence between the books of Malachi and Matthew. Peace enters at Christ's entrance. I don't know where you're at. I don't know your fears and your doubts and your shame and your guilt. I don't know your sin that clings so closely. I don't know if you're struggling with an addiction or a broken relationship or a divorce or pain from your health. I know the one who can heal you. His name is Jesus. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Peace enters as Christ's entrance. As we light this final candle of Advent this season, the candle of peace, I have one question for you. Have you given your heart over to the Prince of Peace? This Christmas season, this Advent season, there's no better time to ask the Prince of Peace to come into your heart. It is simple, but not always easy to live and have him as Lord and Savior, but it's easy. Just say, Jesus, I want you to be the Prince of Peace. I want you to rule and reign in my heart. Forgive me of my sins and come and live in my heart. As we light that candle, let the Prince of Peace come in. After almost of 68 years on this planet, I can tell you that the only real way that I have ever found true peace in this Christmas story, in the darkest of night, the angels rejoiced. The shepherds told, Mary pondered, Joseph wondered. The story tells us that in the dark of night, God did what only God can do. God brought the peace of heaven to earth and placed him not in the finest palace, but in a manger stall. Emmanuel, God with us. It's the only way I know to find the peace I was looking for. No Jesus, N-O Jesus. No peace, N-O, no peace. No Jesus, K-N-O-W, Jesus. No peace, K-N-O-W, peace. Emmanuel, God with us, God with me, God with you, Emmanuel, God with us. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, during this Advent season, I pray that you would enter in as Prince of Peace. I pray that you would bring us a hope that would never disappoint us. I pray that you would bring us into loving relationships, a loving relationship with you and a loving relationship with others. I pray that you would reawaken the joy in our hearts, that we would be people of joy, bringing joy into the world. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. And we pray, Lord, as we go this Advent season and we prepare for Christmas Eve, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. As we kind of wind up this year, I just want to take a moment and thank all those that listen, people who have sent notes and cards and supported the ministry. I have some listeners who sent me a book they wrote. I am blessed by you. You're a blessing to me, and I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.